that old peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. Today I have an interview with Brother Kieran Finn, who's come to a Zoom recording. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and hi to my Tell Radio program.
Kia ora, Bayate.
Brother Kieran Finn is a Champagnat brother and Bible scholar. He's originally from Gisborne and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. With my last interview, I've started in a series of interviews with Brother Kieran on the Gospel according to Luke. With the major feast days of the church year behind us, Brother Kieran is preparing us for the next church year, which is going to start after the Feast of Christ the King in November. So in this series, Brother Kieran will focus each time on a different topic that is characteristic for the Luke Gospel. And one of these characteristics is the topic of hospitality, which happens to be one of the topics or themes that we had in our recent presentations on the Eucharist. Brother Kieran, how is hospitality a theme for the Gospel?
Well, it's particularly interesting that it's so prominent in the first couple of chapters, the infancy narratives, and we hear all of those, virtually all of it, during Advent and Christmas. And of course, Christmas is a great time of hospitality, welcoming guests and so on. And the dictionary said of hospitality that it is kindness in welcoming strangers as our guests. And really, when you think of, we live in a world in which the hospitality of God surrounds us. And I don't think we've done a particularly good job in looking after that gift. So hospitality, it was chosen as the theme and of Brendan Byrne's wonderful book on the Gospel of Luke called The Hospitality of God. And he sees the whole of the gospel in terms of the welcoming and the rejection themes that happen right through so many of the great stories in this gospel, beginning, of course, with the infancy stories. And today, Wednesday, is the beautiful day of the birthday of Mary.
And well, we are recording this interview, yes, so it'll be broadcast on Friday.
But yes,
we are recording it today on the 8th of September.
Yes, and of course the 12th of September is the Holy Name of Mary. So it's a lovely week for that little one who welcomed and accepted her son. Now, isn't that a beautiful example of hospitality? Mary's yes. And then, of course, who is it that greets Mary when she takes that long journey to her cousin? The beautiful, well, it's interesting. It's a visit. The word visit is used, and we call it the visitation. And that's another wonderful example of hospitality. And visitation is a really interesting theme because Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem at the end of that long journey. And the gospel says he wept because they had not accepted the visitation of the time. They hadn't recognized the visitation that Jesus brought. And they chose the way of war and destruction rather than the way of peace.
What is the difference between visitation and visit?
I know, but we've given the name visitation. So the visitation of Jesus to our world, God's gift, and how is that person, that gift, received or rejected? And in telling the story, it goes from Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth. Remember when he speaks that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and this whole thing of proclaiming release to the captives, and this beautiful text of the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to preach the good news to the poor. The poor, remember the theme of riches and poverty? And sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That acceptable time. Is that time to be accepted or rejected? And then we get great stories of Jesus at the house of Simon the Pharisee. He doesn't get the basic hospitality extended to him, the washing of the feet, the drying of the feet, and then the woman who comes in and carries out those services to Jesus. Hospitality in the midst of inhospitality. And then the beautiful story of the Good Samaritan, who the enemy who extends hospitality to the wounded man, the wounded Jew.
And the wounded person is going to be received in a place of hospitality, thanks to the stranger who gave him.
Yes. So that theme, and then again, you can see the Eucharist is Jesus' great act of hospitality to us. And you can see in life this theme. The gospel is a gift. Luke's gospel is a wonderful gift. And we are invited to pick it up and read it again in this whole spirit of what it gives to us, what we can accept, what we can reject.
Is there also a connection between the hospitality of Abraham and Luke?
That is rather a lovely thought, because, you know, we begin the gospel after we get the dedication, the prologue. We begin in the temple in Jerusalem with Zacchaeus, this lovely story of Elizabeth, and the story of Zachary. And Zachary and Elizabeth can't have a child. Why? Because they are elderly. And all of a sudden, you say, oh, the only other couple who couldn't have a child because of age were Abraham and Sarah. And this is sort of what's happening there, is we're getting the best of the old, right? And it's the ending of the old and the need for the new that comes in the time of Jesus. There's such a beautiful time span. And Luke, of course, has got this in his mind, because he's going to write to conclude the time of the old with all its beauty and its grace. And they are lovely figures, Simeon and Anna also. These beautiful figures, the best of the old, the beginning of the new, and the time of Jesus. And, of course, what's going to be the third period? The time of the church. Who wrote the Acts of the Apostles? Luke. So you see this wonderful flow that goes through. But the hospitality, God's hospitality to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Great stories of accepting him and rejecting him. And you find it so often. A story begins, then you have Jesus does something for someone. Oh, what about that Zacchaeus? I love that story. Up in the tree, come down. I've got to dine with you, right? And there's hospitality, dining with someone. This is a gospel of 10 meals, isn't it? So guests and hospitality are everywhere. And they've got, I love this tripart pattern. And when you become aware of it, you see each of the stories of Luke so often has got this pattern of Jesus doing something for someone, and then someone's moaning and murmuring. And it happens again, even dear old Martha and Mary. You've got Martha, you've got Mary, and you've got Jesus. And Martha comes in, and she's critical. And Jesus defends her. But that threefold pattern is in so many stories. The paralytic being lowered through the roof, Jesus extends hospitality in forgiving his sins and then restoring him to life. And then you've got murmur, murmur, murmur from the scribes and the Pharisees. Right? So a threefold pattern. And again, it's going to happen through the Gospel of Luke in the great stories that he tells.
Even with the prodigal son, you have the forgiveness and the murmuring afterwards.
Oh, yes. And, of course, don't forget, you're the older brother. Jesus, the family, the older brother.
Brother Kevin, another theme that comes up in the Gospel according to Luke is the word today. But I'm also wondering, because in other languages it is the day or this day, but in English it is today. Oh, isn't that a little bit confusing?
Translations are always interesting, because sometimes we do get things not quite with the purpose. But this day is a critical aspect, and the moment something happens. The angel sings a song of, I bring you tidings of great joy, for today is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's that. Today it seems very innocent, right? But today something important is happening, a Savior. And it's often the most obvious things are the things that are least recognized. The name of Jesus. Yeshua from Joshua means God saves. And every time the name of God saves, Yeshua, is mentioned, that's the thought we should recognize, because saving actions are taking place all the time. But that today is the moment of the birth of the one who is the Savior, the one who saves. And that's the first today on the lips of the angels. And who are they telling it to?
The shepherds.
Shepherds, the poor of the land. In Matthew, of course, the message is going to be
the kings.
The kings, the magi, right? So what different stories they are. Now, onwards with the todays. The words we heard before from the manifesto of Jesus in Nazareth, where he goes to his hometown and proclaims his manifesto, the program of his mission. What happens? They accept, then they reject him, because he starts to widen their horizons by talking about the outsiders. And remember, this is the gospel for the Gentiles. Now, and what happens is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when he's finished that, he says, today this has been fulfilled in your sight. And what is he implying through that? That if you hear this message, take it to heart and act on it, salvation will come into your life. We had the birth of the Savior. We now have the message of salvation being proclaimed.
So using the word today, it is always current. It is not the day, the seventh day of the fifth month of so and so and so. It is today. So even if we are reading it today, it's today. If we read it yesterday, it was yesterday. It was today. It's always today, right?
It is so right. We live in the already, but the not yet, the now moment. And we need to hear the good news of salvation, that there is a God who loves us. I think that is so critical to know and grow in the love of God. So we come to a wonderful story next, Zacchaeus up in the tree. And Zacchaeus sees Jesus standing underneath that branch, looking up at him, and he says, I'm in for a telling off, because he was a worker for the Romans, a tax collector, despised by the people. what does Jesus say? Today, I must dine with you. Come on down. We're going to have a meal together. And, of course, what do the crowd do? Murmur. Right here they go again. I love that word because murmur was what happened in the desert when the ancestors...
The manna,
they murmured about the food, they murmured about everything, they murmured at Moses, they murmured at God. And it's, I love that word. Murmur is a word that sounds like a lot of people moaning and groaning.
This was the case.
Yes, and the lovely thing is the conversion that takes place because of what Jesus does in accepting Zacchaeus. There's the second, another today is spoken. Today, salvation has come to this house. The moment of salvation is there. And then the beautiful last one is another today, and it's spoken on the cross.
Yeah, today you will be with me in paradise.
That's it. And isn't that a moment of salvation also?
Yes.
To be with God, to be with Jesus in paradise.
Yes.
You've got there. You're saved it. Right? And so salvation today, throughout the beautiful Gospel of Luke, is the moment of salvation. So
and
five years.
Brother Kieran, you were mentioning earlier that Jeshua means the one who saves. So yes. When we go back to the birth, how come that it's only two Gospels that have the story of Jesus' birth?
I think that question raises one of the most important issues of understanding how Gospels came to be. If you think logically, what would be the first thing that people would have talked about after the resurrection?
What was his life about?
Wouldn't that be, what just happened? What just happened? The passion, death, and resurrection be the dominant topic of conversation at the start. What just happened? And remember, the Eucharist was part of all of that, the gathering for the meals, and they told the story of the last days of Jesus. So that's the first part of the gospel to come into being. And the second part is, what did he do to get himself crucified? In other words, the mission of Jesus, what you just said, what went on with his life. And that's where Mark started. Around the year 70, he started with the mission of Jesus, the Baptist, and then the mission, and then finally the crucifixion and a small mention of the resurrection. Now, eventually in time, people started to think about they became interested in Jesus' family origins. But they had so little that they could knew about him, his origins, that out of the adult life of Jesus, they create these infancy narratives. Because if you think of, in this morning's gospel, it was taken from Matthew. This today, the gospel for the birthday of Mary was the story of the birth of Joseph, the Annunciation to Joseph. That's the Annunciation in Luke is to Mary, but to Joseph. And Joseph accepts Mary, takes her into his own home, which is in Bethlehem. So the child is born in the family home in Bethlehem. Luke's story is so very different. Nazareth, then to Bethlehem. So the stories are so... But they do have critically in common Bethlehem and the virgin birth, the birth through the power of the Holy Spirit. is in both Gospels. So you can see the most critical elements are there, but the journeys are different. And those infancy narratives in those two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, are overtures to what's going to happen in the rest of the Gospel. I mean, you get a spectacular example of that at the end of Luke's infancy in chapter 2, where the child goes to Jerusalem with the family for the Passover festival, and he's lost for 3 days, and they seek him sorrowing. And we then say, well, where else did he go to Jerusalem, get killed, and is missing for 3 days?
At the end of his life.
It's the end of his life. So the life of the adult Jesus provides the material and so many of the themes that are to be developed throughout the gospel itself. It's interesting that normally we say that the child is the father of the man. Well, the man is the father of the child. In the infancy narratives. So, yes, and, of course, John's gospel goes even further. Because, see, one of the issues is, when did the Holy Spirit come to Jesus? In Mark, it's at his baptism. In Matthew and Luke, it's at the beginning of his life. In John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So we have this right back to eternity. So, yes, we can see 4 interesting beginnings, but 2 Gospels tell us the stories of the childhood of Jesus. And they do it in such... You know, well, see, the rejection, you know, the warning of Simeon that a sword of sorrow will pierce your heart. We know that's going to happen through the gospel, the rejection of Mary's son. Remember, it's only in John's gospel, of course, that Mary is placed at the foot of the cross.
Oh, she's not at the foot of the cross in the other gospels?
Not even in Luke, the great gospel of Mary, in which Mary has the most prominent of roles.
So she not married at the mentioned at the end of his life at all?
No, only in the gospel of Luke, where she is there. What Luke does, of course, is he places her at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is beautiful because Mary is at the beginning of the life of Jesus. She's at the beginning of the life of the church. So the church itself has to identify with the mission of Jesus Christ.
So when you have the infancy story and you start with it, that's a completely different gospel then if you think of Mark, what we looked at last year, where it was more focused on the cross, the crucifixion, the salvation, and the hope that you people had because they were struggling and were persecuted themselves, isn't it?
Oh, well, if you think of the year 64, it's the era of the persecutions, Christians by Nero. So that would be very alive with the people. And the gospel, Mark is definitely the gospel of the cross. Luke's gospel is the journey into our world of the person of Jesus and the beautiful theme of acceptance or rejection, the extending of hospitality. And there's so many of those themes, that beautiful patterns that emerge in this gospel. Luke is the master storyteller, the master painter.
And so Luke is the one who has a focus on Mary, and he also has a focus on bringing the good news to the ends of the world. Does that connect the Maris brothers and Maris fathers and Maris sisters going to the end of the world?
If you've got the name of Mary, you have to have the vision of Mary. And if you're going to talk about vision, we go to the Magnificat, and the Magnificat has got that. It's all summed up. The reversal of the roles, the care for the poor, the The Beatitudes in Luke are different from the Beatitudes in Mark. Blessed are the poor and blessed are the hungry. They are the ones that are the focus so strongly. And Mary, of course, I just love the way that if you go back to Samuel and the prayer of Hannah, and you look at the prayer of Hannah, and you look at the prayer of the Magnificat, and you can see they're interesting, the prayers, the canticles, because with those canticles, you have the canticle of Simeon, now have you given your servant, Lord, leave to go in peace. And see, the old is reaching its fulfillment. So you can gently farewell. Even the Benedictus is praising the God who has carried out God's promises with the arrival of the prophet John and the fulfillment in the person of Jesus that's to come. So you can see Mary's canticle is looking forward into the mission of her son. Where did he get that passion for justice? I think he must have got it from his mum. And Luke, this is Luke's way of putting this, of telling the story, all right?
But also, as Luke was for the Gentiles, there was a lot of injustice in many different countries. So this call for justice, I'm sure that this was one of the ways how he could preach, the good news could be preached, because people were longing for justice.
The way that the Roman Empire, I saw somewhere that 80% of the world's wealth was poured into Rome and resources and so on. And the slavery, so much of that was there. So, yes, it was a world that cried out for justice. And so does our own, because we think of the economic structures of our world. And this gospel, look at the parable of the poor, of the man who wants build bigger and bigger barns. And what happens? He dies in the night. What a waste of time. You can't take your money with you, right?
It's interesting, because I read the other day from Pope Francis that he said he was hoping that when the glasses of the wealthiest would fill up, and then something will be left for the poor, because it won't fit in the glass. But somehow, yes, Miraculously, the glasses are becoming bigger and bigger, and there's still nothing for the poor.
Remember we used to talk about millionaires, then we talked about billionaires, and now we talk about trillionaires.
But let's concentrate on the gospel according to Luke next Monday.
Yes.
And that will be the first of the five. So we had last week an introductory part, but now we are going into the themes. And the introductory, we have still the interview online. So if anybody wants to listen to the interview, that is still available. But from next Monday on, the 13th of September, until the Monday, the 11th of October, we will have every Monday evening a different theme for the evening. And it's always at 7 o'clock until 8:30 on Zoom. And if you're interested in joining, please contact me at info@studyjoy.nz or check out the website at www.studyjoy.nz. Brother Kieran, quickly, what is the theme for next Monday?
We're going to be focusing on hospitality and its beginnings in Luke and how it flows through. We want to look at what's in this gospel using the perspective of hospitality and taking it right through to the mission, the Galilean mission after the infancy, and then the beautiful journey to Jerusalem, the 10 chapters as they journey to the Passion, Death, and Resurrection.
Thank you very much, Brother Kieran. And so I hope to see many of you on Monday. And please get in touch with us. Kia kaha, stay safe. And thank you, Brother Kieran.
Thank you.
Out there, oh, peace is calling. In the bonds of love we meet. For the world.